Well, I would say for rock fans, this might go as high as 4 stars, but for the average square like me, 2 stars.
And I'll give it 3 stars with thank you, Hank Grant, at KNX Los Angeles. Happy holidays out there. Till next time, Lee Jordan in New York for In the Spotlight.
Again, here's a look at the weather. For Chicago and vicinity, it'll be some stars tonight, some clouds to boot. Partly cloudy, cooler weather, down to 21 degrees for the overnight low with a 30% chance of snow flurry activity. For the day Sunday, variable cloudiness, a little bit on the cooler side. High temperature only up to the freezing point, 32 degrees with a 30% chance of snow. The winds west 5 to 10 miles an hour tonight. And same speed, same direction throughout the day Sunday. 26 degrees right now at Midway, 33 in downtown Chicago here on the Lake Shore, 26 at O'Hare, the relative humidity 85%, the wind 7 miles per hour out of the west.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
The time is 10:31.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Remember when you believed that the kiss of a princess turned a frog into a prince? That was long ago when you believed in magic. You grew older and you harbored, perhaps, a belief in luck and that luck could be manipulated. Later, you amended this to read chance. Then you began to speak of problem solving, and the belief in magic was relegated to the past. But even as the magnetic pull of childhood resists all our efforts to grow up, so does the secret desire to believe that the lovely princess will transform the ugly frog into a handsome prince with a kiss.
I can know what I want to know.
I can know what I want to know.
I can feel what I want to feel.
I can feel what I want to feel.
I can be what I want to be.
I can be what I want to be.
It's happening.
Our mystery drama, The Magus, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Fred Gwynn. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It is a magic moment. You are at your Buick dealer's, about to drive home in your brand new Buick LeSabre. It's lean and trim, classic lines. It looks quite unlike any full-size Buick you can remember. You get in. A heady new car smell surrounds you. Your LeSabre feels the way it looks, tight. You turn the wheel a little. No wasted motion in this car. Big brushed metallic gauges look back at you. That V6 engine is doing great. You rub your hand on the seat. 6 people could be really comfortable in here. You swing into your driveway. Your wife, the kids, the dog, everyone but the parakeet descends in the car and gets in. Off you go to nowhere in particular. Life and your new LeSabre are great. Maybe the dog shouldn't sit on the seats.
It's Athletes versus MS, Multiple Sclerosis. This is Frank Gifford with the word on the fight against MS. Athletes from every sport are banding together to do everything they can to help stop the great crippler of young adults. MS strikes in the prime years, usually between the ages of 20 and 40. The best years in the life of an athlete, in the life of anyone. When fathers are trying to carve out a career, young mothers are trying to raise a family. Well, the sports world is fighting back against MS. People like Brooks Robinson, Tom Seaver, and Eddie Arcaro.
Right, this is Eddie Arcaro. Before now, the only team I've been part of is me and my horse, which isn't bad when you're riding such greats as Citation and Whirlaway. But I've joined the Athletes versus MS team. because I know what this great crippler can do to a strong, healthy body. There may not be a cure for MS as yet, but there is hope through research. So join us. Support the work of your local chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Thanks very much.
The title of our story is The Magus. A magus is a magician, an enchanter, a conjurer, one who practices the black art. With all its fascination, its allure, magic has always been looked upon with suspicion, mistrusted as much as it was revered. Our drama starts in the kitchen of an old house belonging to one Adrian Storm. Adrian Storm is a magus.
Ellie, you spend altogether too much time with him.
I get my work done, Mother.
Well, what do you two do up there in his room?
Talk.
Just talk?
That's all.
Is he going to keep that big mirror in his room?
Why not? It's his.
Well, what does he do? Look at himself all the time?
Mother, I don't know what he does.
Listen, Ellie, there are men... Well, I shouldn't have to tell you this, but I guess I do. There are men who take to servant girls like yourself.
Mother!
You are a servant girl. You are the maid in this house, and I'm the cook. He's the master here, and we are the servants, and don't you ever forget it.
Adrian doesn't think of me that way.
You call him Adrian?
He asked me to.
When did he ask you to?
The day I took the mirror up to his room.
For a whole month, you've been calling him by his first name?
He was so sweet to me that day. He felt awful that I had to carry that big mirror upstairs all by myself.
Look, I said I'd help you. Now, if you would have waited, Larry would have done it. For that matter, why didn't Mr. Storm do it himself if he was so concerned about you doing it?
I wanted to do it. He appreciated it. He kissed my hands.
Kissed?
My hands. First one, then the other. He was crying.
Ellie. Ellie, those people who come to see him, the ones that come here at night, who are they?
I don't know.
What, you've met them, haven't you?
Not really. I just set up the room for them.
Well, what do you mean by set up?
Draw the curtains, light the candles, put the records out and the cassettes, stuff like that.
What else?
That's all. Then I leave.
Well, doesn't he ever ask you to stay?
He always does. But he doesn't ever insist.
And you never have?
No.
And you never will?
I...
Ellie, promise me you never will.
I can't promise, Mother.
Those people are coming here again tonight, aren't they?
Yes.
Merciful heaven, Ellie. Ellie, they could be witches, those people.
I don't think so, Mother.
Ellie!
That's Mr. Storm.
Don't go.
I have to.
Well, Larry McCabe is coming up the path. I can see him.
Ellie!
Oh, wait and say hello to Larry.
I have to see what he wants.
Is that you, Larry?
It's me, Mrs. Long.
Well, come on in.
Well, I can't. Would you open the door, please?
Oh, what on earth?
Oh. I got my arms full.
Well, I'll say. Here, come on, give me the cat.
Oh, here.
Oh, set the groceries down over there. Oh, you know where.
Right, yeah.
Oh, where did you find Mephisto?
Oh, under the hedge. I know you don't like to have him outside.
Oh, Mr. Storm would have a fit.
Well, it's awful hard to keep a tomcat indoors all the time.
Yes, I know it goes against nature.
You want me to unpack the groceries
for
you?
Well, if you've got the time.
Is Ellie around?
She's upstairs with him.
Oh.
How are you doing at the supermarket, Larry? They're treating you okay?
Oh, yeah. Pretty good, actually. See, I may not be making deliveries much longer. I'll be working at the checkout counter, I think.
Oh, that's marvelous. Larry, Larry, would you do me a favor? Ask Ellie out again. I'll tell her about your promotion.
Really? You think she would?
Oh, she's got to. She's got to see what a really wonderful person you are. Not like some people I know. Not so far from where we're standing.
Adrian, you wanted something?
Close the door a bit, Ellie. Come over here. I have a little present for you.
Really? What is it?
Something very simple.
Why, it's a watch. Oh, I don't think that I
should... Just a cheap watch, my dear. Of no importance. It's what you do with the watch that's important. Do you know what you do with the watch?
Tell the time? Is that what you mean?
Is that all you can think of to do with the watch?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
No. There now. It's all right. I am going to show you what to do with the watch. Now, let's look at it together. You see? See what a nice, clean, white face it has. And the black numbers. And the precise little black hands. The long one and the short one. You see them?
Yes.
Now, I want you to look at the minute hand, the long one. Look closely. Are you looking closely?
Yes.
Now, without taking your eyes from it, repeat after me. My name is Ellie Long.
My name is Ellie Long.
Keep looking at the minute hand. Don't look up. Don't look away. Now say, my name is Ellie Long, and I am here right now. Go on. Say it.
My name is Ellie Long, and I'm here right now.
Here. Right now.
Here. Right now.
Again.
My name is Ellie Long, and I am here right now.
Again, and again, and again.
My name is Ellie Long, and I am here right now. My name is Ellie Long.
Don't look up.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right, my dear. You'll soon get the hang of it.
Will I?
Oh, of course. Don't you want to know the purpose of this exercise?
Oh, yes.
It's a little trick I got from Gurdjieff. George believed in self-awareness, in going through life fully awake, not with the self submerged, the way most people do. He believed in being alive, fully and completely alive.
Oh, so do I. So do I.
And do you think you are fully alive?
I know I'm not. Should I see who's at the door?
Probably your mother.
Larry!
Hi, Ellie. Your mother asked me to bring the cat up.
Mephisto? Is that my Mephisto?
I found him outside in the backyard under the hedge.
Oh, well, bring him in here.
I'll take him.
Thanks very much, young man. Oh, bad Mephisto. Bad, bad cat.
Ellie, your mother said... I was talking to your mother, and she...
Thank you, Larry, for the cat.
See, at the store, I think they're going to promote me.
That's nice.
And I wondered, would you...
I'm busy right now, Larry.
You know, would you consider the possibility
of... Close the door, please. There's a draft coming through.
I'm sorry, Larry, really.
Who's the young man?
Oh, that's just Larry. He delivers the groceries.
Oh. Well, then we don't have to think any more about him. Tell me, will you be here tonight?
For the... when the people... You mean when they...
Yes, that is what I mean. Will you join us?
Well, I'll let everybody in and I'll get everything ready up here. That's what you want me to do, isn't it?
You won't stay for our little convocation. You'd find it very interesting.
My mother says...
Yes? Your mother says what?
She says you're all witches.
What?
Coven of witches.
Witches. Oh, no. Witches.
You're not?
Your mother is a simple-minded peasant, my dear.
Well, she only said you might be.
You think we're interested in spells and incantations. Oh, no, my dear. No, 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 no. We are delving into the mysteries of time and space. We are seeking power over them both. But first, my dear, we must have power over ourselves. You remember? Self-awareness.
I am Ellie Long, and I am here right now. Is that it?
That is just the beginning. You have barely started. Would you like to see how far you can advance, my dear? By the power of your concentration. By the power of your will. Would you like to see what I can do? By my concentration. By my will.
I don't know.
Would you, my dear?
Yes.
Then come to the window. Come on. That's it. Now, look out there. What do you see?
Nothing.
Come now. You must see something.
Just Larry going down the path.
Ah, Larry. The young man who brought back my cat. Now, would you like to see Larry jump 2 feet up in the air and scream out loud as though he were in pain? Would you like to see that? Stand there. Be quiet. Be quiet, quiet, quiet. Let me focus my will on that young man. Let me project onto him. When he reaches the end of the privet hedge, just then, he will spring 2 feet in the air and scream. Watch. Yes, yes. Watch closely now. Well? Well? What do you think of that?
You see what I mean about magic? Who would not thrill to possess such power? Well, not I, for one. For I am no longer young and believing, I'm sorry to say. I have long since turned skeptical, not to say cynical. I think I may be missing a lot of fun. I shall be back shortly with Act Two.
Think about it. Is your fire extinguisher within easy reach, and do you really know how to use it? Last year, over 2.5 million kitchen fire victims wished they had thought about it. Unfortunately, many small fires that start here in the kitchen turn into devastating blazes. Underwriters Laboratories field engineer Ray McNabb says that's because people try to fight kitchen fires with water.
Cooking fires caused by fat, oil, or grease should be smothered, not soaked.
The best way to smother a fire is with a fire extinguisher. Only problem is, most folks hide their extinguishers.
They serve no purpose hidden in a closet or in an area where a fire may start, like above a stove. Place it where you can see it and grab it.
Remember, get everyone outside, call the fire department, start your extinguisher, and
aim the nozzle at the base of the fire, sweeping from side to side, and watch out for a reflash.
Think about it. A public service from UL and this station.
When you buy a battery, make sure you buy the one that exactly fits your needs. It might save you money. Get EverReady batteries from True Value Hardware stores. Because a battery has so many uses, EverReady makes different batteries at different prices. Flashlight batteries are the likely choice for equipment that is not used as often or has smaller power requirements. For those items, you don't have to pay more for a more powerful battery because you don't need it. You can get a two-pack of C or D flashlight batteries for just 49 cents at True Value Hardware stores. For portable radios that have low power drains and are used more often, you probably need an EverReady 9-volt transistor battery. Or for lanterns, you might choose the number 509 6-volt lantern battery. Get EverReady batteries at True Value.
It's a way of doing business that means true value.
Long is the cook at the home of Adrian Storm. Her daughter, Ellie, is the maid of all work. As potential suitor for Ellie, Mrs. Long favors Larry, delivery boy for the local market. She lives in fear of her employer, more particularly in fear of his influence over her daughter. Strange people gather periodically at the Storm residence. They are expected this very evening. As our first act ended, Ellie stood by the window of Adrian Storm's bedroom.
What do you see?
Well, just Larry going down the path.
Larry. And would you like to see Larry jump 2 feet in the air and scream out loud as though in pain? Let me focus my will. Let me project onto him. When he reaches the end of the privet hedge, he will spring 2 feet in the air and scream. Watch. Listen. Yes, yes. Watch closely now.
Larry, for heaven's sake, are you all right, Larry?
Yes, I'm all right.
Well, come in the house, for goodness sake, come on. What happened?
I don't know exactly.
I was finishing up the dishes, and I saw you going down the path, and all of a sudden you jump up into the air, and you let out a yell. What happened?
I think I must have seen a snake.
Larry, did anything happen when you took Mephisto up to Mr. Storm's room?
No, I just knocked on the door, and Ellie opened it, and I gave her the cat. And Mr. Storm said thanks.
That's all.
I tried to ask Ellie for a date, but she didn't want to talk to me right then.
Did you get a good look at Mr. Storm when you took the cat up?
Well, I saw him. He was standing in front of that big mirror.
That mirror. He stands in front of it all the time. Worse than any woman. He kisses himself, practically.
That's not true, Mother.
Oh, Ellie.
You shouldn't say such things about Adrian.
Hello, Ellie.
I came down to get a chair. He wants it.
Well, aren't you going to say hello to Larry?
I said hello to him before.
Well, it wouldn't hurt you to say it.
It's all right, Mrs. Long.
Do you know what happened to Larry just now, while you were passing the time of day with Mr. Adrian Storm?
I know.
You know? Did you see him? Did you hear him?
There's a snake out there under the hedge.
There are no snakes out there.
Well, I'm almost positive.
There are no snakes out there. Mother, I want to take one of these kitchen chairs.
Well, I'm sure I saw a snake.
I'll take this one.
I'll prove it to you. I'm going to go out there right now and find it. And when I find it, I'll kill it and I'll bring it back here and you can see for yourself.
There are no snakes out there.
There could be.
No.
There could be one.
There are no snakes out there.
Then what made Larry jump like that and scream like that?
It was Adrian. Adrian did it. By the force and power of his will. His concentrated will.
Are you losing your mind? Has that man hypnotized you?
Is it all right if I take this chair?
Oh, anything. Just take anything.
Adrian says he needs it.
Well, he's got plenty of chairs in his room.
He wants a straight chair.
Go ahead, take it. It's his chair.
Mother.
Yes, baby.
Is Ellie my real name?
Well, of course it is. Why?
I thought maybe it was really Eleonora or Elfrida or Eloise.
It's Ellie. That's what you were christened.
Well, all right. I'll take the chair up.
You want some help?
No, it's easy to carry.
Ellie, baby.
Yes?
Are you sure you're all right?
Of course I'm all right.
Well, I just thought...
I'm all right. And I'm going to be better. Much better. Wait and see.
Dr. Arnold here.
Oh, Dr. Paul Arnold? Is this Dr.
This is Paul Arnold.
Oh, Dr. Arnold,
I don't know if you remember me. I'm Mrs. Long, the cook at Mr. Storm's house.
Oh, yes. I think I've had the pleasure of eating your cooking once or twice. What can I do for you, Mrs. Long?
Well, it's not me. It's my daughter.
Your daughter?
Yes. Maybe you don't remember her. Ellie, she's the maid here. She waits on table.
Oh, yes. I think I do remember.
Well, I'm worried about her.
Well, what seems to be the trouble, Mrs. Long?
Well, she's been acting so strangely.
Well, in what way?
Well, probably I shouldn't be talking to you about this.
Well, if I can be of some help.
Ellie spends a lot of time with Mr. Storm, Doctor.
Yes?
Well, you see, I don't like that to start off with. But there really wasn't much I could do about it. But, well, lately it's been getting worse.
Worse? Worse in what way?
Well, it started about the time she took a big mirror up to his room.
When was that?
Well, about a month ago.
You said a month ago?
Yes. See, he keeps this mirror in his room, and Mrs. Long,
I have a waiting room full of patients.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, not at all. And I'm going to be jammed up here for the rest of the day. Why don't I come to the house before dinner, say about 5? We can have a talk. Would that be satisfactory?
Oh, that would be wonderful, Dr. Arnold.
Are you all right, my dear?
Yes.
Shall I help you with the chair?
No, it's all right. I can do it.
Bring it right inside. That's it.
Oh, it's not so very big. Where do you want it?
Right in front of the mirror. About here.
It's just a chair out of the kitchen.
I know.
It's not very comfortable.
I know that, too.
You have all these nice upholstered chairs. I don't see why you wanted this one.
One day you'll understand. One day soon.
What are you going to do with it?
Sit in it. Like this.
That's all?
Not quite. Where is Mephisto?
Under the bed, I think.
Ah, will you fetch him for me, please?
His tail is sticking out, but I think I've got him. Yes, I have.
Ah, bring him to me.
All right.
Pretty boy. Ah, oh, handsome boy.
Do you want anything else?
No, I think I have everything.
Oh, then maybe I'd better go. Mother worried.
Yes, stay a moment.
Well.
Have you been doing your exercise?
My name is Ellie Long, and I am here right now. My name is Adrian.
Yes, my dear.
I asked my mother, is my name really Ellie? And she said yes.
Oh, a pretty name.
You think so?
You don't care for it?
Well.
Then I shall give you another name.
Could you do that?
Why not?
What name did you have in mind for me?
Claymouth. You like it?
Claymouth.
It has strength, don't you think so?
Claymouth.
Powerful and mysterious. I have something I want to do.
Can I help you?
Come over here. Stand next to me. A little in back of me, if you please.
Here?
Yes. Just there. Now, please don't move. Please don't interrupt. Just stand there and watch.
Watch what?
What is about to take place. Anyway, what I expect to take place. I've been working on this for a month now.
Does it have something to do with the mirror?
Clever girl. Since I am sitting directly in front of the mirror, you might assume that it has to do with the mirror. Incidentally, I can tell you now why I wanted this straight chair.
Yes, I wondered.
I have been practicing this exercise for a month now, using one of those armchairs. I have concluded they're too comfortable. My concentration wavers. My mind is to other things. But in this straight back chair, sit still, Mephisto. Be quiet. Don't move. Don't speak. You understand?
Yes.
Fix your eyes on the reflection in the mirror. Ready?
Yes.
I can feel all I want to feel. I can know all I want to know. I can do all I want to do. I can be all I want to be. It's beginning, I think. I can feel all I want to feel. I can know all I want to know. I can do all I want to do. I can be all I want to be. I am in charge. I am in command. I am the master of myself. I am in charge. I am... Is that not so? You do not see my reflection, because it is not there. It has disappeared. My reflection has disappeared.
Why would a man expend time and energy to dissipate his own reflection in a mirror? Why would he go to such lengths to procure the right mirror, the right chair, place the chair before the mirror, and, in effect, try to exorcise his own image? Why this particular man tried to do this particular thing, we shall learn when I bring you Act 3 in just a few moments.
Come along, you people. Give your land its due. The more you see of America, the better.
United States Travel Service.
Is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Well, Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready. So Northwest Federal's open 63 hours a week. If you work evenings, you can come to Northwest Federal 6 full days. Working days? Northwest Federal's open Monday, Thursday, and Friday evening. And if the only time you can get to Northwest Federal is 8 o'clock in the morning, well, that's okay, too, because Northwest Federal has early bird service every morning. From 8 o'clock, you'll find 5 convenient Northwest Federal savings centers throughout Chicagoland's great Northwest Territory. So come into Northwest Federal Savings on your way to, from, or between work, shopping, or home, anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours.
Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
This is WBBM Chicago, News Radio 78. The time, 11:04, 24 degrees at Midway. We live in Peoria, it's 22 and clear.
Earlier in our story, Ellie watched Adrian as he worked his magic on the innocent person of Larry, the delivery boy, seemingly forcing the boy to leap into the air and scream. Ellie's insistence that only the power of Adrian's will had caused Larry to leap and scream sent her mother to the phone to call Dr. Arnold, who promised to visit the house at 5 o'clock. It is now evening of the same day.
You make the salad dressing, will you? You're awfully good with salad dressing. Ellie, you all right? Huh? You look pale and you're acting so fidgety.
I'm all right.
Your hands are shaking.
No, they're not.
Ellie, I might as well tell you. I called Dr. Arnold.
Who is Dr. Arnold?
Mr. Storm's doctor.
What did you do that for? Adrian's all right.
It's not him I'm worried about. It's you. Oh, there's the doctor now.
I don't want to see him.
But I want you to.
Well, I'm not going to. There's nothing wrong with me. And anyway, Adrian wants me upstairs. He told me to come back when I was through helping you.
Ellie, please stay and see him.
I don't want to see any doctors.
Oh, Lord, help me to do the right thing. Help me to know what the right thing is. I certainly don't.
Mrs. Long?
Oh, yes. Yes, and your Dr. Arnold. Oh, come in, please.
Oh, thank you. I'm not taking you away from your kitchen,
oh,
am
no,
I?
No, that's all right. Come in here and sit down, Doctor.
All right.
It'll be just you and me, I'm afraid. Ellie's with him.
Mr. Storm.
Well, it's hard for me even to say his name. I know he's your patient and he's your friend, and I don't like to say harsh things about him, but you see, it's got to a point where
Now, suppose you tell me just what seems to be the trouble.
Well, you see, I've been working here for about a year. Ellie works here, too. General housework.
Mm-hmm.
And from the day we came here, I could see that Mr. Storm had his eye on Ellie.
Well, in what way?
Oh, well, I don't mean anything immoral, but in a way that could lead to something immoral, especially because she started to like him a lot and to spend a lot of time with him. She says they just sit in his room and talk.
Well, now, it's possible that's all they do.
Well, Ellie's not one to lie, but, well, there are these people that started coming to the house nights. Now, they may be perfectly respectable. I wouldn't know that, but on the other hand, well, you want to know what I think? I think they're witches.
Oh, Mrs. Long, I hardly think so.
Well, something weird goes on in that room while they're here. Moans and groans and something that sounds like, well, not like hymns, but it's more like chants. Oh, not music, though, just voices chanting.
Well, that sounds harmless enough.
Well, maybe it is. I'm not saying it isn't. You see, about a month ago, Mr. Storm had Ellie take a big mirror up to his room. Well, sometimes when his door was open, I used to see him in front of the mirror just looking at himself. Sometimes I'd go past his door again and an hour later, and there he'd be still just looking at himself in the mirror.
Mrs. Long, I've known Mr. Storm for a good many years, and while I'm moderately fond of him, I must tell you that I've always known he was the most narcissistic of men. Not an attractive trait, but one which may be forgiven, I think.
Well, maybe
Do go on.
Well, see, I worried a lot about Ellie being so close to Mr. Storm. I wanted her to go out more with Larry McCabe. He's our delivery boy from the supermarket. Oh, and I have to tell you what happened this morning. You see, Larry brought some groceries, and when he reached the edge of the privet hedge, he jumped up in the air and he let out such a yell, you'd think something had bitten him. Well, he said he'd seen a snake. Oh, not that the snake had bitten him, just that he'd seen it.
Well, I'd think seeing a snake unexpectedly would make me jump up in the air and yell.
Yes, and I believed him, kind of. But do you know what Ellie said?
Mm-hmm.
She said that it happened because Mr. Storm had made it happen.
Really? Well, just how did he make it happen?
By the force of his concentrated will.
Oh, Mrs. Long, I think she was just teasing you, putting you on.
She swears that's what he said.
Even so.
And this afternoon she took a chair up to him, an ordinary chair, one from the kitchen. Heavens knows what he wanted it for. She is with him right now, up in his room.
You saw it this afternoon, didn't you, my dear?
I'm not sure.
You saw my reflection begin to fade around the edges, as though it were wasting away. Come now. You saw that.
I saw something.
You saw my reflection start to disintegrate. That is what you saw. Admit it.
I don't like to.
Why not? Why not, for heaven's sake? It's a supreme achievement. The crowning glory of my life. The great triumph of my career. Have you ever even heard of a man who could make his own reflection disappear? Have you?
No.
Well, then.
But why do you want to do it, Adrian?
Why? I'll tell you why. Because it can't be done. That's why. I am a magus, Ellie. I dabble in the black arts. Didn't you know?
I wasn't sure.
Well, you know now. Come now, to work, to work. First, I shall seat myself in this most uncomfortable chair, directly in front of the mirror. Then you will hand me my cat, Mephisto.
Here.
Lie down, Mephisto, and be quiet. That's my good boy, my pretty boy. Now, Ellie, you will stand beside me, a little in back of me, please, as before. That's it. Now, keep your eyes fixed on the mirror, as I shall. And Mephisto, too. We three will watch while I remove, by my own powers, my own image from the mirror. I can feel all I want to feel. I can know all I want.
Try to tell us what happened.
Tell the doctor, Ellie.
He's sitting in front of the mirror.
Oh.
In the chair I brought him. He's got the cat in his lap. I couldn't stand it.
You couldn't stand what, Ellie? Oh.
Try and tell us, darling.
I was supposed to look in the mirror to watch.
To watch? To watch what?
He said he was going to make it happen. Nobody has ever done it before.
Make what happen?
Make his reflection disappear.
His reflection in the mirror?
Nobody. nobody has ever done it, he says.
And no one ever will, my dear.
Oh, but I watched. And the edges got all blurry in the mirror. And then it was as though little pieces of him started to fall off. He was losing parts of himself. It was horrible. I couldn't stand it.
No, darling, darling.
You don't believe me, but I saw it. He saw it, and I saw it. He was disappearing in the mirror. I had to get out. I couldn't stand it anymore. Mephisto!
The cat!
Something's happened. Doctor!
I think we'd better go in there.
Ellie, come on.
I don't want to!
Come on, Doctor. There he is.
Yes.
He didn't look up or anything when we came in.
He's dead, Mrs. Long.
Dead?
He must have died no more than a minute ago.
How? What killed him?
Oh, I didn't expect it so soon. I thought he had at least a year, maybe more.
What are you talking about, Doctor?
Mr. Storm suffered from a terminal disease. Well, there was little to be done for him except relieve his pain, but I told him a month ago he could expect to live at least another year.
You told him a month ago?
Yes.
That was when he asked for the mirror.
Yes.
There's got to be a connection.
I don't like to jump to conclusions, but I think it very likely that what we have here is a case of suicide.
Is that possible?
I suppose a man could will his own death.
What's the matter with Adrian? He's dead, Ellie.
Oh, he's dead?
Yes.
See? His reflection is all gone from the mirror. That's what I was afraid of. That it would disappear altogether. And he would be dead. But he wouldn't listen.
Ellie...
Look at the mirror. All blank. I can see myself. And Mother. And you, Doctor. But no Adrian. Adrian is gone.
Ellie, you can see Adrian. Adrian's body in the mirror.
No, it's just the chair. Mother, you see the chair, don't you?
Of course.
But no Adrian. Adrian is gone.
I don't know.
Where's Mephisto? What happened to Mephisto?
Yes. Yeah, well, where's the cat?
Mephisto knew that Adrian was dying. He couldn't stand it either.
Oh, he's somewhere in this house, Ellie. We'll find him.
No. No, I think he's right here. Right here in this room.
Ellie, don't worry about the cat.
I have to find him.
Not now.
Mephisto? Where are you, Mephisto? Good cat. Pretty boy. He's here.
It's best to leave her alone for the time being, Mrs. Long.
I suppose so, Doctor.
Oh, I found him. I found him.
Ellie.
He was behind the mirror.
That's fine, darling.
Don't you see what's happened? Don't you see?
What happened, Ellie?
Why, Mephisto was sitting in Adrian's lap. And Mephisto knew what was happening. That Adrian's reflection was slipping away. He jumped off Adrian's lap and went into the mirror and took Adrian's place.
Ellie, darling...
And now Adrian's soul is in Mephisto. And Adrian will live on in Mephisto. Forever.
I have to call the police, Mrs. Long.
Of course you do.
Dear Mephisto, beautiful cat, you're mine now. I'll never leave you. And you will never leave me. Will you, Adrian?
Did Adrian Storm commit suicide? That is what we must ask ourselves. Did he bring about his own demise? Did he will himself dead? And if he did, is this magic? Was Adrian Storm a true magus? Or is what we witnessed merely the proof of a man's destructive power when that power is turned inward upon himself? I shall be back shortly.
Hello, this is Paulette Goddard. This year marks the 30th anniversary of CARE, C-A-R-E, the International Aid and Development Organization, which provides needy people around the world with food, tools, and equipment, the means for them to help themselves. Now, when CARE first began its work just after the Second World War, I recognized how important its work was, and I did what I could to help. Today, the needs are still great. There are hungry children and desperate people who need your help. Your contributions to CARE help provide food and the means to grow food, tools, equipment, and know-how to build roads, safer water systems, clinics, feeding centers, and schools. In the American tradition of generosity and concern for people, won't you help these needy people free themselves from hunger, poverty, and despair?
Send your check or money order to CARE, Box 576, New York, 10016.
We are not consulted, heaven knows, in the matter of our conception. We come into this uncertain world under protest, and we object strenuously to large portions of the life thus thrust upon us. Should we begrudge any man the privilege of determining the moment and the manner of departing it? It's something to think about. Our cast included Fred Gwynn, Jada Rowland, Carol Tytel, and Russell Horton. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Hello?
Mr. Flaxman Lowe?
Yes, the same.
This is George Blackburton. You know, we've seen each other casually at the club.
Oh, yes, of course, Sir George.
I feel like the devil bothering you like this, but you were pointed out to me as someone who... well, was more or less an expert in the occult and supernatural.
Well, I have made a good deal of investigation, yes, but...
I'm in desperate need of help. Could you come right down to my place in Surrey? We have something that even my wife can't cope with.
Something?
Perhaps it's an old curse, I don't know, but there is a thing that is trying to crowd us out of the house that you can actually taste and smell. Disgusting and terrifying. I need help.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Intelligence Agency is reported to have compiled a grim estimate of long-range Soviet strategic intentions, an analysis that says the Kremlin seeks military superiority over the United States. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The New York Times reports President-elect Carter will receive the report early next month. It's the CIA's annual so-called National Estimate of Soviet Strategic Objectives over the next 10 years. CIA Director George Bush is quoted as saying the report contains some worrisome signs. A group of so-called outsiders convinced the regular government intelligence community to change its estimate of Soviet willingness to accept mere parity with the United States in armed strength. One of those outsiders is Harvard University Russian history professor Richard Pipes, who says Kremlin leaders don't necessarily subscribe to the U.S. assessment that neither side could survive a nuclear war.
The Russians want to, I think, avoid nuclear war. But their doctrine is that if you want to avoid nuclear war, You must prepare for it and must be prepared to wage it and to win it. The Russian doctrine is a very dangerous doctrine. I think that the American doctrine of mutual destruction is a more comfortable doctrine to live with. But the plain fact is that the Russians have not adopted it. And we are now faced with having to look at a country that is preparing both offensively and defensively in a way that suggests the possibility of their wishing to wage war.
And Professor Pipe says the Soviet strategic buildup, if continued for another decade, would enable them to project their power almost anywhere in any way they want. CBS News continues following this message.
A music box, a sprig of holly, and an old-fashioned holiday greeting card from the CBS Radio Network. It's signed by some people you know. Charles Carralt, Charles Osgood, Lee Jordan, Mariah McLaughlin, Ed Bradley, Fred Graham, John Lawrence, and Peter Kalischer. Signatures on our holiday greeting. Sharon Lovejoy.